This is the Generations Broadcast, my friends. Kevin Swanson with you. Adam McManus, the host of TheWorldview.com, with me on this memorial program as we celebrate the demise of Roe v. Wade. 49 years of Roe v. Wade, and this thing came down on Friday. The SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, has rejected Roe v. Wade. And, Adam, I've been in the battle for 39 of the 49 years. Since 1983, I can't count the number of abortion clinics in which I have protested, in which I stood up for life, pro-life, a candidate for governor here in the state of Colorado in 1994, and then U.S. Senate in 1998. Been raising the banner for a long time, along with, you know, so many other hundreds of thousands of Christians and pro-life conservatives across this country. Well, after 39 years of involvement on my part, 49 years of Roe v. Wade, it's over.
It is.
It's over for Roe v.
Praise
Wade.
God.
Is it a surprise for you?
Did not come as a huge surprise in light of the release that came down several months ago, but I was worried. I was really worried that one of the newer appointees might get squishy on us and might flip, which is, I think, exactly what was intended by whomever leaked the initial draft of Samuel Alito. And thank God they stood strong. Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, Clarence Thomas, Amy Coney Barrett, and Brett Kavanaugh. And, of course, Trump appointed Gorsuch, Barrett, and Kavanaugh. You know, you can say a lot of things about why Donald Trump is rough around the edges, but you know what? God used him in a mighty way. If for no other reason than to appoint those three pro-life Supreme Court justices who affirm the sanctity of unborn human life. Kevin, June 24th, 2022 will go down in American history books as the day that five gutsy Supreme Court justices did their level best to turn back the tidal wave of death in this culture.
And I think the left was expecting squish on the part of the Republican-appointed justices. That's Sandra Day O'Connor. That's Babe Kennedy. That's what happened with John Roberts. He squished on this, but he squished on Obamacare. Republican-appointed Supreme Court justices are infamous for squishing when the going gets tough, but this didn't happen this time. It's amazing. By the grace of
God,
it didn't happen.
Not to mention Brett Kavanaugh's own life, actually threatened by the numbskull that came in from California, the 26-year-old young man who had everything in tow, from guns to burglary tools to mask and tape and tasers, and he was prepared to kill him on his property in his home in Chevy Chase, Maryland, at 1 a.m. right after he got off that flight in the Baltimore, D.C. area. And thank God he saw those two marshals standing on Kavanaugh's property, went down the street and called 911 on himself. Thank God that Kavanaugh's life was spared, and thank God that Roe v. Wade was indeed overturned. I mean, the thing that makes me shake my head is John Roberts. Here's the Chief Justice who is an absolute embarrassment to the cause of the Constitution.
Yeah, again, not a big surprise, because that's what conservative Republican appointees tended to do since, well, a Republican-dominated Supreme Court went for Roe v. Wade, a Republican-dominated Supreme Court went for Casey. That's what Republican appointees have been doing for a long time, until now. Is this the first major victory for pro-life and conservatives in America over 100 years? We lost Barry Goldwater in the 1960s, which wasn't very good anyway, but we lost Roe v. Wade, we lost Casey, we lost Lawrence v. Texas, we lost Obergefell, we lost the national debt battle, every fiscal battle practically since roughly Calvin Coolidge. We won a gun battle for handgun ownership in Chicago back in 2008. We won another gun battle with the U.S. Supreme Court decision striking down the New York law last week. We've lost rights during COVID-19. We lost hard money in the 1970s. We won battles on homeschooling rights through the 1980s and 1990s, but that just affects the islands of freedom. And now SCOTUS has struck down Roe v. Wade and Casey both in one fell swoop and empowered states to make the abortion call for themselves. Friends, Roe v. Wade and Casey overruled in the Dobbs case this week, upholding the Mississippi law, which allowed abortion up to 15 weeks. Here's the wording before we take the break. The Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. This is Alito's opinion, which became the majority opinion in the Dobbs case. The Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. Roe and Casey are overruled, and the authority to regulate abortion is returned to the people and their elected representatives. Those words will be famous for the remainder of American history.
And that's where it should be. The battle should be in the states. Of course, this is, as we're going to get into a little bit later, does not automatically make every abortion illegal. Every state will decide what they're going to do, and a handful of states have decided to put 13 of them trigger laws in place that take effect typically within 30 days of the passage of Roe v. Wade being overturned, and immediately it becomes illegal in those states. We will see, mark my words, Kevin, the rise of abortion tourism at this point.
And violence, don't forget. Abortion is violence, and violent people do violent things. Okay, we're going to talk about the positives of this move on the part of SCOTUS and the challenges before us next on Generations. Stay with us. Folks, our families, our future families are crying out for shepherding. Shepherds, fathers, husbands, godly leaders. Our churches are crying out for shepherds, elders, pastors, deacons. But where will we find men who rule their households well and shepherd well in the household of God? Men, is there anything more important you will do in your life than to be the shepherd that God has called you to be? Does God have a call in your life to be a father, a shepherd in the home? Does God have a call on your life to be pastors, to invest in the precious body of Christ, the church, that has been so despised by the world and so neglected by God's people? Would you invest in something this important? Would you surround yourself with good teaching, prayer, counsel, other shepherds to shepherd you, to be the shepherd God wants you to be? We have sought out the best shepherds and pastors for our Shepherds Training Conference, which takes place each year out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. Now, this is not a seminary. Seminary professors can make for good seminary professors, but godly, faithful pastors and fathers will prepare more godly, faithful shepherds and pastors in the home and church. If you feel God's call in your life to spiritual leadership, if you sense this is the time to invest in preparation, encouragement, strengthening, guidance for spiritual leadership in your home or church life, register now for our Shepherds Conference, taking place October 24th to 28th this year. It's 5 days of immersive teaching, fellowship, meals together, prayer, small groups, and a life-transforming, family-transforming, church-transforming event. Early registration is only $349 for room, board, and the whole week's program. Register now at generations.org and click on events. Register at generations.org. That's events. And we're back on the Generations broadcast. A very important moment in the outworking of American history. The reversal of Roe v. Wade. As far as I know, the only point at which the Supreme Court did a major reversal in the history of America. And Donald Trump, I think, gave us the big takeaway. I mean, the biggest of the bigger takeaways of this decision that came down for the Supreme Court of the United States on Friday. Donald Trump, he said, here's his comment, God made the decision. And I just had to say amen to that.
I love that.
Adam, there's a God in the heavens, and he will not let these things go on indefinitely. How many times have we said that on this program? Abortion is not forever. Now, the one thing liberals don't count on is God. You know, that's the one thing they don't count. They think they have a free pass until they run into
when God decides he's going to do something, it's going to be done.
Yeah, I mean, they think they just got to go on forever and ever. You know, the wicked do whatever they want to do. They look like this massive oak tree, but after a while you look carefully for their place and it shall not be found. Psalm 37, and that's because they will run into God. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. You know, they just forget that one thing. Oh yeah, God, sovereign over everything. You know, now, that's what happened here. I think that's the best way to state this. Abortion is not forever. Abortion is going to end. Mass abortion is going to end. And the reason for that is why. God is in the heavens. Christ is on the right hand of the Father. And he rules until his enemies are under his footstool. Now, this is the metaphysical reality of realities. This is the critical interpretive device in all of human history. If there's an important element that defines all of reality, what happens on planet Earth, it's got to be that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He's on the right hand of the Father. He's bringing his enemies under his footstool. And that is going to happen in the context of human history. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court, I think, this is another positive. The U.S. Supreme Court has returned the rule of law and the Constitution to America. And that's a positive. Now, having a Supreme Court that actually respects the U.S. Constitution and doesn't give way to revolutionary law or, you know, mob rule or evolutionary law is encouraging to me. I mean, maybe America has a shot if the Supreme Court of the United States is going to submit to the Constitution. That's a positive, Adam.
It is a positive. And one thing we need to point out is that Chief Justice John Roberts did vote with the majority to uphold the Mississippi abortion restriction, but did not approve of tossing out Roe altogether. So he kind of had one foot in and one foot out. Do the hokey pokey.
Yeah. Okay. sounds like a moderate. That's what moderates do.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Straddling the fence once again.
Only thing in the middle of the road, yellow lines and dead skunks. You know, the classic line, right? So, now, as you said, let's move on to the next point. This does not ban abortion in America. This only decentralizes the decision-making regarding abortion to the states or to the Congress. Now, I think it's a realignment of the future of the nation. I do believe this is a potential breakup of the United States of America, largely because abortion is a defining issue and a divisive issue that could very well divide the country. And that may be well within the will of God. If it happens, of course, it will be within the will of God. But God limits power by the Babel principle. I call it the decentralizing effect. And this is one of the shocking things about the reversal of Roe v. Wade via Dobbs, is that the Supreme Court of the United States is moving in a different direction. Centralization of power is pretty much everything that's happened to characterize American governance since 1865. That was what came out of the Civil War, the centralization of power. Department of Education formed. The centralization of the control of the monetary system developed after the Civil War. The centralization of control over the entire economy developed. The centralization of control over the schools, et cetera, et cetera. So it's been almost nothing but centralization. But now we have a point at which the conservative justices on the U.S. Supreme Court have decided they're going to reverse that. They're going to decentralize. And I believe this is pretty much what Donald Trump said. God made the decision. Genesis 10:4 comes to mind. Now, again, this is the Babel principle. Go to, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And so the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth. They ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel. So that is what I would call the Babel principle, in which, yeah, man comes together for just a brief time, beginning a terrible turn in the weather, and then God brings it all down. The whole tower comes down. Now, this, I think, is what is going on with this Supreme Court decision. The power is moving back into the states. And it's amazing how the attorney generals are jumping right on this. I mean, they're like licking their chops on this one. Think about Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton.
Oh, yeah, we're very proud of what he did. He closed all the statewide offices throughout the Lone Star State in honor of nearly 70 million unborn babies killed in the womb since 1973. And he went on to say, Roe v. Wade and its successor case, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, have absolutely no basis in the U.S. Constitution. Nevertheless, for half a century, Americans have had to live under these illegitimate, illegal, and unconstitutional dictates of a partisan, willful Supreme Court. No more. Today, says Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas, the question of abortion returns to the states. And in Texas, that question has already been answered. Abortion is illegal here. I look forward to defending the pro-life laws of Texas and the lives of all unborn children moving forward. End quote.
There you see, you know, these attorney generals and these governors are saying, okay, here we go. You know, we'll take advantage of it. And sure enough, Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry said something similar. As noted in both my legal brief to the Supreme Court, the majority's opinion, the Constitution makes no reference to abortion. Because of the court's ruling in this case about a Mississippi law limiting abortions, Louisiana's trigger law banning abortion is now in effect. My office and I will do everything in our power to ensure the laws of Louisiana that have been passed to protect the unborn are enforceable, even if we have to go back to court. You can feel the sense of empowerment. I mean, these state governors and attorney generals are being empowered for the first time after 49 years. This strips back the power of the federal government and adds something to the power of the states, doesn't it?
It's powerful. It really is. And Franklin Graham weighed in as well. He said that the United States Supreme Court announced one of the most significant rulings in my lifetime, officially voting to overturn the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision because it was, quote, egregiously wrong from the start, end quote, as stated by Justice Samuel Alito. Graham went on to say the radical left, though, is calling for a night of rage. Pregnancy centers are already being vandalized and attacked, and our U.S. Supreme Court justices are being targeted with threats and intimidation. Roe v. Wade, passed 49 years ago, has resulted in the deaths of over 63 million innocent children in this country. Sadly, this decision, as we've pointed out, is not the end of abortion, but it does push the battle back to the states. So says Franklin Graham.
If you go to the website, Jane's Revenge, by the way, highly advertised in the major media, Jane's Revenge is calling for violence and rage across America beginning 8 p.m. Friday night and, I guess, just continuing. Following the decision.
The acts of the pro-abortion terrorists started a month plus ago. The name of this abortion terrorist group, Jane's Revenge, comes from the Jane's Collective, which was a group in Chicago prior to 1973 who helped Chicago mothers to illegally abort their babies. After Compass Care Pregnancy Services in Buffalo, New York was firebombed on June 7th by Jane's Revenge, Jim Harden, the CEO, said that this growing violence, 32 acts now across the country against pro-life centers and churches, is part of the pro-abortion Kristallnacht. Absolutely fascinating reference to the Night of Broken Glass from November 9th, 1938, when the Nazi leaders smashed the glass of the Jewish-owned businesses, synagogues, and homes throughout Germany. I mean, it was the beginning of the demonstrable disrespect and dishonoring and violent outgrowth of hostility toward a group of people because of who they were. In that case, in Nazi Germany, the Jews, because of their ethnicity. In this case, in America, the babies, because of where they're geographically located inside the womb, and the left thinks that that makes them subhuman. And ironically, New York Governor Kathy Hochul has described the entire pro-life movement as subhuman. So it reminds me of Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court is returning to the rule of law, so that's the high point. This does not ban abortion in America. The Supreme Court of the United States still does not have the will to actually rule God's law, but they passed it on to the states. Will the U.S. Supreme Court actually rule the personhood of unborn citizens in the womb via the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution? You're not supposed to take away the right to life, liberty, property without due process, according to the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution, except for unborn citizens. There's evidently an exception made at this point. The U.S. Supreme Court doesn't have the guts to stand up for the Constitution, at least the 14th Amendment, as it applies to the little guys. And but the technology also has vastly improved the ability to kill babies in America. And I think we need to remember this is one small step. It doesn't mean we've achieved the saving of innocent lives, especially with the access to the kill pill by mail. This reversal Roe v. Wade's little too late. So many ways to kill a kid. There's the kill pill by mail. In fact, Reuters, and by the way, the President of the United States is encouraging the use of the kill pill as well, and others. It's not prosecutable. Even the states that have been doing their best to limit the access to the kill pill by mail, the leaders of our nation are encouraging the use of the kill pill. In fact, Reuters says medication-induced abortions have become more common over the past decade, with use of this method before 9 weeks of pregnancy increasing 123% between 2010 and 2019, to the point now the majority of abortions take place by the kill pill, either by mail or by some clinic somewhere. The states that have banned or plan to ban abortion, here's Reuters, may face difficulties enforcing restrictions on medication abortions because women are still likely to be able to obtain the pills online or in other states. So you've got the kill pill, you've got abortifacients, you've got the day after pill. All of this has come over the last, say, 15, 20 years. And Roe v. Wade, really, the reversal of it isn't going to really affect much of this. In fact, in the discussion of the Dodds case, Justice Amy Coney Barrett wanted to be sure that any ruling on this would not affect same-sex marriage and birth control. Alito also dismissed the claim that this might reverse Obergefell. This is Alito, which, by the way, Thomas did not agree with, but Alito put this in the majority opinion. So the majority, the conservatives, are going out of their way to say, hey, this is going to affect access to abortifacients, etc. Alito said, finally, the dissent suggests that our decision calls into question Griswold, Lawrence, Obergefell, etc. But we have stated unequivocally that nothing in this opinion should be understood to cast doubt or precedents that do not concern abortion. We have also explained why this is so. Rights regarding contraception and same-sex relationships are inherently different from the right to abortion. So the most sacred of the sacred cows are homosexuality and birth control, not so much abortion. I think we need to remember that. That homosexuality and birth control are far more sacrosanct. Abortifacients essential. If homosexuality and abortifacients are keeping society sterile enough, the question is, do we really need abortion? Remember, the goal is to sterilize society. The goal is sex without procreation. That's the overall goal, and so far that's not going to be compromised at all. The Supreme Court of the United States does not want that compromised one little bit. Keep in mind also, the goal is to eliminate unwanted babies, preferably by the IUD, not so much by the bloody abortion business. And we've talked about this a number of times, that there are something like 12.5 million babies killed every year by the IUD and the pill. Do we really need an extra 1.2 million babies killed by abortion? 90% of children conceived are already killed by the high-efficiency birth control methods that have been largely enabled by the no copay on Obamacare that came out, 6 or 7 years ago. So now that 90 to 95% of babies are eliminated or killed by the pill and by the IUD, do we really need surgical abortion? Do we really need to kill the other 10%? Again, based on new data from the Kaiser Family Foundation, 23% of 18 to 49-year-old women are using the IUD, up from 1% in the 1990s, and that amounts to about 12.33 million abortions per year, assuming the Stanford study, which averaged 0.8 aborted kids per woman on the IUD per year. Thus, while surgical and chemical abortions have dropped from 1.4 million to 1.2 million, half of which are now kill pills, the total number of abortions, including IUD abortions, have increased in the U.S. from 1.9 million to 13.5 million thanks to these high-efficiency form of technology and, of course, Obamacare that eliminated the copay on abortifacients. So all that to say, friends, we're not there yet. Now, is this a good first step on the part of the U.S. Supreme Court? Yeah, they did what they should have done, but we're not there yet. That's the bottom line. And I think we need to be careful. We need to kind of cool the jets just a little bit, you know, until we begin to do something about the 13.5 million abortions in America, including those that are brought about by abortifacients. Now, again, the question is for the church. Will the church stand up? What will the pastors do? Will the church stand up against abortifacients? Or will the church stand up on the matter of personhood? I don't have much hope for America reversing its course of killing 64% of babies conceived in this nation each year, largely by the IUD and these abortifacients. And I would recommend that our abortifacient resolution on personhood or a personhood resolution, either way, either the abortifacient resolution or a personhood resolution be passed through the denominations. I think that's going to be critical. Now, why are people killing their babies? I want to end here. Why do people kill their children? Why are people insisting on sex without procreation and the right to abortifacients and abortion? And the reason for that is because children get in the way. They say there are economic reasons, which basically means that they want to live self-centered, narcissistic lives and not be curtailed in any way in terms of time and resources by these obnoxious little children. That's why people do what they do. That's why this problem, the root is self-centeredness, the worship of self, living for self, turning self into a god, and then forcing others, especially unborn babies, to be subservient to our wishes, which might include the killing of these babies. So the point is that as pastors, as leaders, as Christians, we need to go to the root issue. What is the issue? What is the sin that is the root whereby we are wanting to eliminate something like 10 to 15 million babies, 65% of babies who are conceived in any given year in our modern societies? And we have the technology to do it. But why are we doing it? Well, it's the self-centered life. It's the all-about-me approach to religion. That's got to go. Churches are filling up with the self-centered folks who come because it's all about me. And so it's not a God-centered thing. That's something we are all going to have to repent of. As Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And that is to give up our life if we are to gain that life. So that's the principle that Jesus brings to bear. We're out of time. But Adam, I want to continue this on the next program. We have much more to say about the reversal of Roe v. Wade. Biggest decision probably in my lifetime, especially for the pro-life cause.
Kevin, this is such a momentous day as we've seen God speak his mind through the overturning of Roe v. Wade to protect increasingly millions of babies from abortion. I'd like to ask you on behalf of this audience across America and around the world who listen to Generations to offer a prayer of thanks and gratitude to God and a prayer for wisdom for all of us as we face uncertain days ahead.
Yes, let's do that. A very critical moment in American history, and certainly this affects our nation. Father God, we thank you, we praise you, that you are the mighty God. You are over all these things. The nations rage, the kingdoms are moved, but you just utter your voice, and the earth melts. And we attribute this turnaround on the part of the U.S. Supreme Court to your mighty hand working in history. We give you the praise and the glory and the thanksgiving for this movement. Father, we pray for this to continue. We pray for the states. We pray for attorney generals, for legislatures to continue in the right way, especially within those states in which there is a spirit of humility and repentance. We pray for the churches. They would rise up and they would take advantage of this moment and go to the root issues and bring about repentance, real repentance in the grassroots that might affect the nation. Father, again, we thank you for your hand in history. We thank you for your hand in this decision. And we do pray, Father, that your mercy would be upon us and that that our leaders would take advantage of this to continue a pattern of repentance and humility before you, that we would turn from our wicked ways and submit ourselves to your laws by the mercies of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And friends, you've been listening to Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus inviting you back again next time as we continue this conversation.